Welcome to Matthew 20. I'm Peyton Jones, and I'll be your guide today on your journey through the Word. Can you remember something in class that was just hard to get your head around? I can remember being in third grade when our teacher was trying to get us to tell time. I just couldn't get it. So the teacher held us through lunch until Peyton got the breakthrough. Matthew has been holding us over now for a few chapters on this whole grace and forgiveness thing. Until we get it. Why is grace such a hard concept for us to get, though? Starting in verse 1, Jesus tells us a story to help us try to get it. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who is hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" My friend, God is generous. Grace is God's generosity poured out on each one of us. The thief on the cross gets the same forgiveness that someone who lived for God all their lives gets. And that's a hard concept for all of us to grasp because we're so ingrained in our appreciation of hard work and earning things. But grace you earn isn't grace. And you just can't earn forgiveness. It's all about the graciousness of the giver. In the case of this parable, the landowner gets to be generous with what he owns. Speaking of grace, Jesus goes on to speak about his death a third time. It's what makes it all possible. Perhaps that's why James and John's mother kneeling down in front of Jesus right then was such odd timing. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" In verse 21, she asks, "Grant that each one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Okay, this is a very mom-like thing to ask. But asking right when Jesus is speaking about his own death was a little insensitive and non-mom-like. But Jesus' response in verse 22 takes us right back to the cross. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father." The cup that Jesus is referring to is his death at the hands of hateful people. Jesus says they'll drink from the cup, but they won't drink the cup he's going to drink. The cup is drinking the wrath of God down to its very dregs. That's why Jesus prayed, "Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me." Well, both of these boys would eventually drink the cup of suffering and death, but to sit at his right hand and left, well, that was up to his dad. And this doesn't stop the rest of the disciples from being just a little put out by the request. In verse 24, "When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, it all comes back down to being willing to die as Jesus was. To serve others until it killed him is what Jesus models all throughout the book of Matthew. And he tells the disciples, this is what greatness looks like in heaven. Speaking of serving others, Jesus leaves Jericho in verse 30. And two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. You have to admire these obnoxious and desperate blind men. They have no way to get to Jesus. Their only weapon is their voice. From a distance, Jesus stops and yells back at them, What do you want me to do for you? Verse 33. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus walks over to them and becomes the living embodiment of the mercy they've asked for. The blind men also are a visible picture of those who are desperate for mercy and grace. And that's why Matthew carefully words verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Well, those men weren't the only blind ones in this chapter. The apostles, the disciples, and the mother of John and James were all blind. And they were also deaf to what Jesus was saying. They were blind to the life he was modeling for them. He truly was the greatest. But they weren't acting like him at all. We can be so blind to our own needs, can't we? We can be so blind to our own need before God, but also blind to the compassion that Jesus gives us despite our weaknesses. These men immediately begin to follow him, marveling all the way that they're able to do so. Now they can see. Now they can set their sights, locking it onto Jesus with laser point precision, and follow him. May that same wonder and awe also be true of us, that we get to follow Jesus, all because of his compassion, mercy, and grace that he's shown us, not only at the cross, but every day of our life since then, and be willing to even follow him to our own death, if necessary. Well, that's all the time I got today on Through the Word. Just help me, how can I find my way? Oops, gotta find my way out of here. It's a bit dark.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.